What are the experiences that shaped the views of people your age? The things that made you different from your parents or your kids? That's what I'm asking this week. Yesterday, we heard from some 25-year-olds, young Americans who became politically aware just as the country entered two intractable wars and then sunk into recession. Well, today, we hear from 45-year-olds. If you were born in 1971, then when you were little and impressionable, the president loomed large.
We, as Americans, have the capacity now, as we've had in the past, to do whatever needs to be done to preserve this last and greatest bastion of freedom.
I clearly remember hearing a speech from Ronald Reagan. It was a moment in my life that for the first time I realized I was an American and that that was the greatest thing on earth.
Matt Innes grew up in southeast Iowa.
Growing up in a small farm community in the 70s, you saw a lot of despair. And, you know, when you listen to Ronald Reagan, he brought incredible optimism.
Other kids might have heard Reagan criticized at home by their parents, but not Lorena Perez of Sacramento. Her family came to the U.S. from Mexico, undocumented, when she was three. The Reagan administration granted her family amnesty. Eventually, they became citizens, and for that, Reagan was revered.
My parents would see him as someone that they wanted to thank for helping us and so many other immigrants, and kind of like a star-like figure. He was, you know, Ronald Reagan. We owe a lot to him, what my parents would say.
When today's 45-year-olds were entering adulthood around 1990, times were good. The Cold War was ending. The Berlin Wall came down.
It almost seemed like our country was unstoppable. We were the power figure.
The shock of 9/11 was still a decade away. The country felt secure. Here's another change that Americans of Lorena's age lived through. They are old enough to remember the news media when they were different, dominated by a few big outlets, formal in presentation, conventional in choice of subject matter. The morning papers and the evening news shows drove the agenda.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight with Peter Jennings.
Good evening.
In the 1990s, that started to change. The media broke into intense competition for immediacy and sensation, no holds barred.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky.
Mr. Simpson, do you understand the charges as I've read them to you?
Yes.
At this time, do you wish to enter a plea guilty or not guilty?
Not guilty.
Some of the 45-year-olds I spoke with recalled the Clinton impeachment and the O.J. Simpson trial as a blended memory, a media circus where there had once been something more restrained. Holly Holiday was born and raised in Kansas City and became a lawyer.
The O.J. Simpson and the Clinton stuff was a demarcation in fueling the need for people to their natural curiosity. And now it's just on steroids.
The nonstop news cycle was displacing the old model. Jason Lovett owns a trash hauling business in Griffin, Georgia.
When I'm in college, CNN is producing coverage of the Iraq War 24/7.
This was the first Iraq War in 1991.
And it really starts to change how you perceived what was going on in the world. I don't say that as a good thing. I think the 24-hour news cycle is probably one of the problems that creates the discourse between, the conservative and liberal movement.
Matt Innes of Iowa agrees.
The media has really helped in creating the dysfunction.
And so does Scott Thornhill. He's a real estate broker in Greensboro, North Carolina.
Some of that civility of, you know, talking to each other and being able to explain positions on issues or whatever it might be in a cordial manner. At least in my experience, I think some of that has gone. And I think the media and social media now, I think, has affected that a great deal. I can go on Facebook and I can say something on there that I would probably never say to you in person.
The way we communicate with one another has changed, both in method and substance. Scott Kroom of Pasadena, Texas, says around the time of the Clinton impeachment, he sensed a change in American values.
There was a shift where everything quit being about necessarily doing what's right or wrong, and it started becoming about winning, winning points here and there on the polls. And it quit being about doing what was right for the country or, you know, right for the world, and it became about, you know, are we going to win next time?
He thinks we became more cynical. Today's 45-year-olds were adults in their mid-30s when the Great Recession struck. For Mindy Riesenberg of Phoenix, it was the end of what had been good times.
I made a lot of money, and then I lost a lot of money. I've been on both sides of the bar. I've been where I could give money to people and where I was on unemployment and living off of the healthcare system in Arizona called Access. And because of my personal experiences like that, I feel that I definitely have gotten more involved in politics than I was when I was younger because it hits home with me more personally than it did 20 years ago.
The recession also changed the way Jason Lovett thinks about politics and the economy.
It was this amazing eye-opening experience that said the political machine churned out these incredibly bad loans and backed up these through crony capitalism, this entire Wall Street bubble. And when it burst on the American middle income.
For Jason, it was a political wake-up call.
Before that time, I actually thought that elections were in November, and, you know, they're not. Elections are in May. The Republican primary is in May. A Democratic primary is in May.
The economic collapse of 2007-2008 also led Michelle Warren of Denver to question the system.
6 months, we were at the top zip code for foreclosures, and on my block, we had 6 abandoned houses one summer. But it didn't probably switch my politics. It did make me think with a little bit more scrutiny, though, about banks and, you know, just where the majority of wealth is.
45-year-olds like Michelle Warren and the others we've heard from obviously lived through all the things that 25-year-olds have lived through. But this older group is old enough to remember America as a different place, and they might say a better place. They remember the country as being more powerful, more prosperous, and Scott Thornhill would say more optimistic.
For me, maybe as a child, and it carried me into my adulthood, is wanting those leaders that do talk about, as Reagan did, you know, the shining city on the hill and us being a beacon of light for the world and, you know, kind of that grander purpose of the United States.
I asked Scott how he would sum up the concerns of his generation to a 68-year-old like me.
What I would say to you or anyone else, you know, in that 68 category is that you wanted for our generation that American dream of, you know, better for your children than what you had. And I want the same thing for my son. We want those same things. I go through times when I wonder if, when I'm your age, if I'm going to have left that for him or not.